It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
So many interesting things and so little time. I come across a plethora of interesting things as I do research for this blog that I simply don't have time to make a standalone article or PEDcast about. Well, I don't want you to miss out on all this, so I have decided to clean house a little and get some articles to you that have been backlogged for quite a while. Let's clean the DocSmo desk off, shall we? Rather than making a PEDcast about each one, I'm going to give you a synopsis of these articles in a series that I'm calling Child Health News. So sit back and continue your free pediatric education. Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't introduce myself. Pardon me. I'm your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin, a real board-certified pediatrician with 34 years of clinical practice and 5 years blogging. Welcome to another edition of Portable Practical Pediatrics. September 2015 in the journal Pediatrics, they had an article there that dovetails nicely with my very popular podcast entitled Babies Need Words, where I address the differences in language development among children who are read to on a regular basis and those that are not. For more on that, you can read the AAP, the Academy of Pediatrics Statement on Language Development in Children, and also read Jim Trelease's great book that I have previously reviewed on this blog entitled The Read Aloud Handbook. He was way ahead of his time back in the 70s when he originally wrote the first version of that book. So, back to the new information. Pediatricians at Cincinnati Children's Hospital tested brain activation in preschool children who were read to and found that, sure enough, left brain activation and activity was increased when children were read to compared to when they were watching screens like TVs and iPads. Imagine that. $1 million scanners, high-level statistics, and researchers with more letters after their names than a bowl of alphabet soup, all to find out what common sense would tell you. Reading to children stimulates their brains, specifically the areas of the brain where language is processed. Grandma would not be surprised by this research. In fact, she knew this 100 years ago. On to the next article, Article 2. The CDC brought us some interesting information in April 2015 about the current cases of measles that have been occurring in the U.S. Let me remind you that measles is a serious disease, killing one out of every 100 children it infects. Its eradication has been a major public health victory in the 20th century, but unfortunately, it's coming back. In 2015, so far, 159 cases have been reported in the U.S., and this 159 is no doubt a significant underreporting and identification of the disease. I wouldn't be surprised if the real number isn't 10 times that. Anyway, the Center for Disease Control asked the question, where is the measles coming from? Well, not surprisingly, 96% of the cases were either brought here by unvaccinated Americans who had traveled abroad and brought it back, or were imported by visitors from other countries where vaccine rates are low. If the trend towards vaccine refusal continues to gain steam in the U.S., we can expect to see a lot more measles in the U.S. What's the expression? What is old is new, and what is new is old. Well, I hope we don't have to touch the measles stove, so to speak, to find out that it is still very hot. Now, on to article number 3. Why is puberty getting younger in girls? Well, newsflash, it's also getting younger in boys, but more on that in a minute. In a 2013 study of girls, 1,200 girls, in fact, over time, the average age of the first sign of puberty, which was breast development, continues to be getting younger. Race and presumably genetics is a factor here, but they also found that obesity is the biggest factor reducing the age of thelarchy. That's the medical term for the beginning of breast development. The higher the BMI or body mass index, the earlier the pubertal process begins on average. The authors are studying other factors such as exposure to chemicals in our environment, but right now I think they believe that being bigger at a younger age is the biggest factor. I'm sure there will be more coming on this fascinating stories. They also found when studying boys that the process is getting younger in them as well. And finally, article number 4. There is news about the virus RSV and its relationship to asthma. Researchers have suspected for a long time that an early bronchial infection with RSV does something to an infant's airways that makes them more sensitive to irritants and makes it easier for their bronchioles to go into bronchospasm for many, many years. The so-called intrinsic asthma, that's the term that doctors use for young children who seem to wheeze in response to viral infections. This line of reasoning is now supported by two important supporting studies. The first comes from Brazil, where researchers found that babies born in the fall, you know, that's the beginning of RSV season, were most likely to go on to wheeze recurrently and be labeled asthmatic. The second article comes in the New England Journal of Medicine, where researchers found that premature babies who got infected with RSV at a young age were much more likely to wheeze in the first year of life than their counterparts that didn't get this infection. Both of these studies confirm that argument that RSV is a very mean virus and that an early infection with it changes a baby's bronchial sensitivity for a long time, many years. That after an early RSV infection, a baby's bronchi seem to be very twitchy, very easily set off by relatively minor irritants until they've recovered finally from this infection. So what's the take-home message from all this pediatric research? What can you do that's practical, that can change your child's life for the better? Well, first, we learned that reading to kids is really, really good for their brains. We've known that for a long time, but now we have hard proof. So turn off the screens. Don't dare let them have a TV in their room. Limit their screen time and read to them. They use their imagination and the parts of their brain that really need to be developed. Second, get them immunized, and get them immunized on time with measles vaccine. Don't be afraid of measles vaccine. I know there's a lot of dissonance out there about this, but you need to immunize them. You should be really afraid of measles, not the measles vaccine. Number 3, don't let your kids get obese. It's likely, if they do, that they'll go through puberty at a very young age, and this can be psychologically very devastating for them. Cut out the sugary drinks, cut out the candy, and as much of the processed food in their diet as possible. And finally, try your best to avoid your young children getting infected with RSV. This comes out every fall, about October, and the RSV season goes till about March. So you want to try your best to avoid indoor activities with large groups of kids during this period of time as much as possible. It might mean that you delay putting an infant in daycare if they're born at that time of year. That's a decision you'll have to make, but getting an RSV infection at a very young age seems to be very bad for a child's health. Well, I hope you found that PEDS update interesting. Health and parenting issues in pediatrics are fascinating, aren't they? New stuff comes out all the time, and I do my best to keep you informed. In fact, if you subscribe to Doxmo.com and read my new book, Can Doesn't Mean Should, I feel confident that you will be the best informed parent in the room at your next parent get-together. Thanks for your comments, your interest, and support. I truly hope I can bring you pediatric information that is portable and practical. This is Dr. Paul Smolin, broadcasting from Studio 1E, you know, my first child's bedroom on the east side of my house, hoping that I was able to shed a little light with my PEDcast tonight.
This PEDcast would not be possible without the help of the following contributors: Anne Gesner, PNP extraordinaire, for her editing assistance; Seth Rocketman Jaffe, for providing inspiration and guidance; Dr. David Jaffe, whose beautiful pipes created the introductory voiceover; Dr. Robert Beezer, for composing this fantastic bumper music, which is performed by two phenomenally talented young musicians, Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this PEDcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com PEDcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.